This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. You know, it just feels like it's an hour later, dude. Howdy, hi, welcome to the inaugural Matt McNeil Show. Well, not that Matt McNeil Show. It's a different, it's an hour later, it goes 2 hours longer. Hi, how you doing? Matt, Brett here today. Hey, Brett, did you have a nice holiday?
I did, yeah. Pretty uneventful in the COVID era, but yeah.
Not uneventful, it's Santa, it's Christmas.
I'm talking New Year's. Oh, Christmas.
New Year's, Christmas. We haven't seen each other for a bit.
That's a good point.
So New Year's, you just had it kind of low-key?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
All right. We did a burning ceremony where we went and wrote things on pieces of paper, and then you burn them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to say what I wrote, but, you know, it has something to do with a certain producer here.
Was it a vendetta against the producers here?
Let me just start writing names. It was a nice little burning ceremony. We did that, and then, of course, the holidays were nice. It was nice to be at home just with the kids. And, I mean, I think that it's hard. I understand it. I mean, it's hard to in the COVID era. I wish we didn't have to do Chris with my mom on a Zoom call. That was a little, I missed the fun. But at the same time, hopefully next year, hopefully by the summer, if Joe Biden becomes president and things get fixed here, we'll move ahead on that. So we are not going to bury the lead here. We are here till 6 o'clock this evening. I'm torn. Do I do traffic and weather like I used to do when I was on the old morning show?
I was making the comment to you in the COVID era. I mean, how much traffic is there really?
Well, there's a crash right now, 169 southbound. This is in the area, 36th Avenue North. Watch out for delays there, but pretty much localized problems. I mean, I can do it. I mean, it's, for God's sakes, it's not like, rocket science. It's traffic reporting, for God's sakes.
It's a little shot. I mean, doing traffic for Minneapolis-St. Paul in the COVID era is like doing traffic in Omaha or Des Moines during a normal day.
Well, I will say, watch the sun. Holy God. That was the first thing. I was like, all of a sudden, I'm driving right into the sun on the way here. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it. We're going back to 3 o'clock. I mean, if that's why I have to deal with that, I'm going back to the – no, I'm doing this. The 2 hours here. We changed some things around because we wanted to kind of solidify more of the local coverage. And, it's important for us to make sure that we are giving you what we feel is a good product. And, I mean, obviously the Devil's Advocate guys, popular here in town. They came into town when we had the Minnesota primaries here in Minnesota. They are here on Super Tuesday. They had quite a few people come up and say hi to them. Very well liked. They're taking over that 2 to 4 o'clock time slot. I'm here 4 to 6. Native Roots Radio taking over at 6 o'clock. They're starting today too, right?
Yeah, today it is.
Beautiful.
6 to 7.
Yeah, Robert and the crew are going to be on for that. So make sure you're there. And I think that, can I just be a blunt? I think this country would be a heck of a lot better if we had more Native American programming on radio stations across the country. Hey, that's just me wacky crazy, but it's, I could say the same thing for Latino programming, African American programming, Somali programming. I think by having options where people can hear about the news and stuff from the cultures, that it helps people, especially white people, understand the world a little bit better. So Native Roots Radio, stay with us till 7 o'clock tonight. Broadcast, is that 7?
Yep, that one didn't change. Still 7.
And then 8 o'clock is
Unger,
and then Randy Rhodes at 10. So you stay with us throughout the evening here on AM 950. It was. I was happy to do it. When the morning show stopped, I made the decision I was going to do my best to just be there for my kids, get them on the school bus, get them off the school bus while they're in elementary school. And I actually think that that's one of the things I am most proud of as a parent, is I was able to get for pretty much the entire time, from my oldest child to my youngest daughter, I was able to put them on the school bus and take them off the school bus every day through elementary school, and I enjoyed doing that. I had a lot of fun with the kids. We I've seen them grow up, and I've enjoyed the last few years out since my youngest got out of elementary school, having the ability to go to soccer games and stuff like that. Although, let me just tell you, what a freaking delight it is to have to, during rush hour traffic, drive up to St. Michael Albertville. Oh my God, just a delight. Couldn't schedule that game for later in the evening. You have 500 fields, most of them never being used, many of them with lights. Nope, you got to schedule it for 4:15. Thanks for that. Anyway, but it was time. I've wanted to do more. I'm going to guess, and I'm not exaggerating this, I'd say over the last few years, we've had 1,000 people call up and say, we need more Matt. 1,000 people say we need a longer show. People commenting on Facebook, commenting on Twitter. It's time. So I'm going to do this 4 to 6 o'clock here. Good to be with you today. We got a lot of things we got to get to. A little bit of house cleaning here. Do we have Brett the holiday interviews scheduled? Separated out and on the SoundCloud page yet?
Look for that tomorrow.
Tomorrow. We're going to do that, and that's one of the things I want to thank all the authors, all the guests we had: John Crippen from the Hennepin History Museum, Cliff Schechter, Jeff Stein, all the authors that we had on here. Just absolutely top-notch interviews. I was so happy that we were able to get all those interviews on the air. We are going to make them. We're putting them on our holiday playlist. You'll be able to hear them. We're going to replay two of them this week, the two Wolf Island and Minneapolis and Urban Biography. Those two interviews we're actually going to re-air this week because they aired on New Year's Day. I want to give them a little bit more visibility than just New Year's Day. So we'll air those a little bit later on this week. But you'll be able to catch all the interviews by all the authors and all the guests. They'll be up online tomorrow. Keep an eye out for that. And thank you very much. I've been enjoying. Yesterday, Brett, I also had a wonderful reminder of why Minneapolis-St. Paul just kicks butt in winter even. I hiked to Lake Harriet, and there came a moment, this was about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and came a moment where I was looking around, and it looked like a freaking Norman Rockwell, picture come to life, like a Wysocki painting, for goodness sake. It was just gorgeous. People skating and skiing and kids playing hockey, people just strolling. Some guys on their big tired, hipster mountain bikes. Those guys. They were out there, and just as they're all ice fishermen, tons of ice fishermen, out on Harriet, the lake was being utilized as much as it is in summer. Here it is. It's 20 degrees. It's cool. It's a nice day. Sun's out. Sun's shining. But it was, here it is. This is Minnesota. And it was funny because I have a friend who lives down in Tennessee, and they had a little snow, and they're talking about how it's nice, but gosh, I wish this light dusting would go away. And then I also have a friend in Ireland who was talking about the lake that he lives by and how they're starting to get some ice on it. And here we are, our lakes, ice covered. Be careful on there. Watch for thin ice. But ice covered for the most part. And people going out there, it's like, okay, different season, just another day. Let's keep going. That's what I love about this city. I got some great photos I took yesterday. I'm going to make sure I get those posted up. And hopefully you'll enjoy them too. Get out and enjoy. This is we live in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and if I can understand, it's a little tough, it's a little rigid to say the least in regards to weather out there. But for the most part, it's something which is it's a great place to live in winter. And I hope you do get the chance. And it's a shame because there have so many wonderful events that we do that we're just not going to be able to get done this year because of coronavirus. But at the same time, there still is a lot of people getting out and doing stuff. So try to do that if you can. I'm going to start with the latest on traitor Republicans, and that's what they are, is traitor Republicans. And the unbelievable joke that is this idea that they somehow can, I don't quite know what they're trying to do, frankly. I really have no idea what they're trying to do. Outside, well, they are so, the concept of them losing I don't know if they just think they can Cobra Kai this back into a victory, or it's just this kind of consistent, just spoiled brat, sore loser crud. I don't know. But we are very close to seeing a definitive crumbling of democracy. I mean, for lack of a better way to say it, the democracy itself is under attack by these Republicans who just do not want to accept they lost. They keep screaming, 75 million of us have questions. No, 75 million people voted for Trump. 75 million Trump voters don't have questions. Only about, my guess is about 20 million of them do. And the only reason those 20 million do is that they watch media, which is basically a self-fueled vicious circle of you know, conspiracy theorists and lunatic right-wing fringe insisting, this is fixed. I just heard it on the news. It was fixed. And even though I just said it, I'm going to report it again as fact. It's fixed. Today, Gabriel Sterling, a Georgia election official, walked through the laundry list of accusations from Trump in his shakedown phone call of Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger and systematically debunked them, standing next to a chart showing claim versus fact. This is a Republican, too. This is a Republican doing this. Sterling shouted in some cases while he explained that a lot of the claims by President Trump and other conspiracy theorists are wrong. Some of the claims he said went so far as he called wild. One claim he was that the Secretary of State had a brother named Ron who works for Dominion Voting Systems, which is incorrect. Another he cited was a false claim from the former CEO of Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne, who is pushing the conspiracy theory they printed blurry ballots just for Republicans so they wouldn't scan. If you're a Sterling, called it absurd. One conspiracy theory is that 2,056 felons voted illegally. He explained that 74 potential felons are currently under investigation to see if they were still serving a felony sentence when they voted. Similarly, the right claimed that 66,248 voters voted under 18 voted. Thus far, they found four people that they are looking into, and they found that two people weren't of age yet. They also claimed, and by the way, don't know if they voted for Trump or for Biden. They also claimed that 2,423 voted that were not registered. They could find no basis for this entire argument, though. A different claim is that 1,043 people illegally used a P.O. box, which they found is as many P.O. boxes were incorrectly falsified as boxes, but they're actually apartments. Another claim is that 4,926 votes cast ballots past the registration date, which is, again, they found zero evidence of that as well. It really is just unbelievable, some of the accusations that they're making. But they believe these as fact now, even though there is no evidence of any of this. To the point where Louis Gohmert, the dumbest politician I have ever seen, and I'll tell you something, that guy, that is the fat kid in fourth grade eating the tub of paste. And I'm not talking about that's where he came from. That's who he is today. The fat fourth grader eating the tub of paste. That's Louis Gohmert, for God's sakes. He's calling for violence. He called for violence on Friday. He clearly called for violence, and then he said, well, I never call for violence. No, you did, you Texas hick. My God, you brick dumb sack of rocks. Dear Lord. Where we're going to go, I have no idea. But it's terrifying to me to see so many people they're the spoiled 3-year-old who says, "Mommy, I want a cookie," and mom says, "No, I can't have a cookie right now. We're gonna have lunch in a little bit." "I want a cookie." "No, we're not gonna have a cookie right now. We're gonna have lunch in a moment." "Cookie, cookie, 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 cookie." "No, we're not going to have a cookie right now because we're gonna have lunch." Ah, 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 No. That is what all these people are. Is they're at the point where they think they can just scream and yell and they're going to get their way. What's scary to me is that there have been times in our history of the human race where we have seen this stuff happening and we can see it unfolding. And I, to a point, am a little concerned about what would happen if Donald Trump just basically said, and a good portion of the Republicans said, we're not going to recognize the election. We won. We've convinced ourselves we won. We have no evidence of it, but we're going to say we won. We're not going to contest any other element of any other ballot in any of the races that we're contesting. All those are legitimate, but we're just contesting the presidential race, and we're going to throw it out and install Trump as the president. And people just sort of say, well, what do you do? Because, you know, very much the Supreme Court case against on the Trail of Tears against Andrew Jackson. He said, no, you can't just move Native Americans off their native lands. And Andrew Jackson said, well, you know, who's going to stop me now? And Andrew Jackson was a horrible human being, and he just did his own thing. Well, Donald Trump has a picture of Andrew Jackson right behind him half the time because he loved the belligerence of Jackson. I do get the feeling that the military has already kind of let their voice be heard, that we're not going to get involved here. And frankly, the way the Constitution is written, that we basically have to back up the Constitution and it's your time to go, sir. So you either can go by your own legs or we'll drag you out of here. But at the same time, I talked with this holiday to friends of mine overseas, and all of them said the same thing. They all said, how did you guys get to this point? How did you guys get to the point where 4 years ago, when Barack Obama left office, we were still the shining city on the hill. We were what people strive to be. Today, we are the punchline to a joke. And how'd you get here? And you get here because you have so many people in this country. Not a majority. I mean, once again, it's only about 20 million of the people that voted for Trump in a country of 325 million people, which, by the way, means the vast majority of people do not want Donald Trump as president of the United States any longer. He's done. But the reality is that these people are just, they have been fed a 20 years of opinion validation. And they have learned that if they just scream for the cookie enough, that people will take them seriously. And, you know, this is partly a good chunk of the media, the journalists in this country. They don't do their job. They can't help themselves when the petulant child starts screaming for the cookie. It's like, well, apparently the kid wants a cookie. Are you going to give the kid a cookie? The reality is we have a lot of people that just can't deal with the truth. And the truth is that Trump lost. And yeah, he lost by quite a few, 7 million votes. It's over. He's done. He did not win Georgia. He did not win Arizona. He did not win Wisconsin or Michigan or Pennsylvania. He did not win any of those states. He lost. It's time for him to go. And I know he doesn't want to go because he already knows he's in an insane amount of legal trouble the second he's no longer president of the United States. He knows it. That's why he's trying to hand out as many pardons as possible as quickly as possible. But it's these enablers, guys like Ted Cruz and others who Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, who basically I think are looking at, well, I want his voting base to back me up in 2024, so I'll just delegitimize an election and see if they stay with me. Democracy will never recover from this. I'm dead serious. I think the damage has already been done. I don't think democracy will ever recover from this. And it's a shame because this is just what happens when you have petulant man children and women children, petulant children basically being a substantial part of the Republican Party. I'll take a break right now. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Oh, why not? Gary is in Minneapolis. Gary, welcome onto the show. Gary,
hi, Matt. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
I just wanted to make a statement, or maybe a question for you, too, listeners. Trump, he changed the Republican Party, and I personally believe that he showed the Republican, he revealed what that party's all about more than changing it.
I would say, here's the thing. Gary, good to talk with you. Hope you had a good New Year. Here's what happened. All right, so it's 2004, all right? And W is headed for a loss. John Kerry is going to beat him. There's a story that I think it was Ralph Reed. And back in 92, when H.W. Bush was going to lose, Ralph Reed and the Christian Coalition came to the White House and said, you know, we'll get you those foot soldiers. We'll get you the votes. We will do everything in our power to get you there. You just have to give us a seat at the table when it comes to writing legislation. And H.W. Bush, to his credit, kicked him out of the White House and said, the last thing we need is those clowns being involved. Fast forward to 2004, W was going to lose. You know, things were pretty bad. So Dick Cheney, and this is why I think one of the reasons why Liz Cheney is so against this group now is because she's desperately trying to rewrite the history that her father wasn't pretty much, him and Karl Rove were the two people that came up with going to the extremists and bringing them on in to the party, brought in the religious zealots, brought in the militant guys out on compounds, brought in the racists into the party, and said, you guys, we'll give you a seat at the table. You just got to get us to a victory here in 2004. The impact of Cheney and Rove's embracing of the fringe elements of the far right in the mainstream of the Republican Party became almost instantaneous when in 2008 if you believe the rumors I'd heard, that Tim Pawlenty was jettisoned at the last second so they could put Sarah Palin on the ticket because Sarah Palin appealed to that fringe nutbaggian group of the far right. And ever since this has become a larger and larger part of the party. There are Republicans who are decent Republicans. There are. But if you want to stay a Republican, you've got to, at the very least, enable racism. If not full-throated, endorse racism. That's the Republican Party today. If you didn't want to, you've seen the rest of the Republicans leave the party. That the ones that didn't want to have to pander to these extremist elements, because the extremist elements became that guttural worst part of America, that, you know, 40 to 50 million of people in the country of 320 million who love their racism, who love their bigotry, who do want to force their religion on other people. They do want to get rid of certain religions. That basically do want to start another revolution by gunning down the liberals that they hate. Those people became a large portion of the Republican Party's voting base. And so to stay there, this is how you get to this point. Trump just saw a party that was ripe for the picking. If you didn't hear the Jeff Stein show we did on New Year's Eve, we talked about this extensively. Trump isn't really a Republican. Look at how he vilifies any Republican that doesn't go along with what he wants. He saw a political party where all you had to do was to win the nomination was, you know, basically just be, you know, crazier than everyone else on the stage, which he was. And he validated the worst of America. And this is why these people are so terrified of him being gone. That's right, you stinking cockroaches. You're going to go back in hiding under the damn fridge. I'm tired of Trump saying, don't run away, cockroaches. You can stay out in the light. And here's some Twinkies. No. Those days and age are over. And you guys, because your racism, these worst elements of humanity that he's validated, well, now we're going to start saying, yeah, you know what? You know, that's a horrible thing, and you should not really ever be heard from again. And you guys don't, you feel as this gives you legitimacy. And it's, you know, the psychologist in me would say the reason why you see these people with the, you know, Trump flags all over their house and cars because they can't fly the N-word flag or the derogatory flags against the Latinos, derogatory flags against the Jews, or derogatory flags against the Muslims. They can't do it. So they love the fact that Trump has become a prodigy of it, like kind of like the modified okay sign, how that's now white power. It absolutely is. Absolutely. And by the way, for all those people out there who haven't heard, when I was in junior high in Georgia, and I went into my high school year at Georgia, there I noticed a football picture where a bunch of the white guys were holding that spread-fingered OK sign. I'm like, why are they holding up an OK sign? This was back in the early 80s. And a white guy looked at me and said, well, that's because it says white power. They're showing everyone they're racist. And if anyone asks, they say, well, I was just flashing an OK sign. They all knew. They all know. And they don't want that to go away. They feel as if being able to flash that sign is owning the libs. They feel as if being able to rub a Trump face in your a flag in your face, as opposed to being is the equivalent of rubbing an N-word flag in your face. That's what these people are about, and this is why they're so desperate for, okay, fine, get rid of democracy, get rid of the foundations of this country, and just install him as president. Because they have gotten a seat at the table, and they do not want it to go away. That's how you get to Crazy Town, man. That is how you get to Crazy Town, because it is disturbing when you think about where we are and how we've gotten here. And Trump is still playing like a fiddle. And these people, trust me, Trump will make, over the next 3 years, half a billion dollars by these nuts that think he's really going to run again in 2024, or that Ivanka's going to run, or Donald Jr. is going to run, and they will write check after check after check from their dilapidated household just so that they can get him back, so they can own the libs some more. And then he's going to say, oh, thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye. So long, suckers. It is the world that they have inhabited. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Come on back. I'll get into the Minnesota coronavirus update when I do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show here till 6 o'clock, 435 right now in Minneapolis, St. Paul, right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, thanks to Todd Colid sponsoring AM 950 today and through this week. Todd, of course, from Minnesota, lives in Spain now. Can't go to necessarily our clients, so he basically wants to sponsor the station. You can too, 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 for more information on that. He wants to promote Fair Fight. Now, this is Stacey Abrams' organization down in Georgia. And I'll get to this in the second hour of the show today. The Democrats owe her a lot in that state because she saw what the problem was, and in a state which was not expected to be in play, not only made it in play, but Joe Biden won it because of her hard work. Her organization is trying to deliver the two Senate seats as well. Go to fairfight.com. That's fairfight.com for more information. And thank you very much, Todd. I do appreciate that. Minnesota coronavirus update for today. Governor Tim Walz expected later this week to announce next steps in response to the pandemic that has caused 5,443 deaths in Minnesota. 423,688 diagnosed infections with the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. The totals include 13 deaths and 3,148 infections reported on Monday by the State Department of Health. Pandemic totals have declined sharply over the past month in Minnesota, even as a wave of COVID-19 that first emerged in the fall in the upper Midwest has radiated for the rest of the country. Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that we got so bad here. And we got so bad because of belligerent Republicans screaming, "You don't have to do anything. Open up all your businesses." If I, like I said, all you have to do, go look at the zip code map on the Star Tribune's webpage and see where the worst outbreaks have been. It's all Republican districts. You know, and before the election, I said I didn't know if necessarily saying you're going to try to kill off your own constituents was necessarily a winning strategy. What Republican voters have shown us is, yeah, you can kill a few of us. That's okay. I'm still voting for you. I'm on your side. Pandemic totals have declined sharply. Once again, Minnesota had the nation's highest new infection rate in the week ending December 4th, but dropped to 43rd the week ending December 25th, according to the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Moreover, the positivity rate of diagnostic testing dropped from a high of 15.5% on November 10th to 5.1% on December 22nd, the most recent date available on Minnesota's pandemic response page. So That's good news as well. Once again, still, we're way over where we were over during the summer, but we're getting better. And that's for sure. Remember in the summer we used to have, if we had 600 cases in a day, that was a lot. We need to get back down to that. There is, of course, one of the things that has been on my mind is these stories of these businesses that have opened up the thumb in their nose at Governor Walz and his rules. And I have been very clear that you've got to prosecute these people. You've got to punish them. I mean, it's, if you don't, the standard you're setting is that you can break the rules, you can break the law. And with that, you can get away with it. I mean, you have to punish these businesses for what they're doing. What happens if a business just all of a sudden one day says, you know what, I'm not going to obey the 21-year-old drinking age. I'm going to start serving drinks to 19-year-olds. And all of a sudden they say, we're going to do it. And here's a 19-year-old, here's some booze, there you go. I'm making more money. 21's an arbitrary number. I know some 19-year-olds who are far more mature than 26, 27-year-olds I know. So I'm going to make the decision that I'll make the determination on who can and cannot drink. I am not going to care about age. Would we as a state stand by and allow that to happen? Of course not. Would these police departments who are going out there and trying their hardest to let everyone know, hey, you know, I just have to just let you know you're supposed to be closed here, but I'm not going to do anything to stop it. Yeah, nice police work. If that wasn't black bar or black restaurant, I guarantee you'd have 50 squad cars there and batons out your 40-millimeter grenade launchers all ready to go. But white guy bar in Lakeville, hey, guys, have one for me, all right? Yeah, I see you. We see you guys. But, you know, a police officer would either, well, actually, want to know the truth? Maybe the police officer wouldn't. If it was, say, this bar Alibi down in Lakeville, say one day they just said, you know, we're not going to care about the drinking age. We're going to serve anyone we want to. I have some serious doubts whether or not the police departments and the sheriff's office down there would actually go in there and say, oh, well, you know, I told you can't do it, but hey, Junior, have one on me, all right? I don't know. What happens if we have a beef recall? We have tainted meat that's being sold in the state of Minnesota. And you have a bar owner who's saying, I don't care. I'm going to still serve it. I'll just cook it longer. I'll give a discount, 2-for-1 E. coli burgers. Boy, extra dipping sauce. Would we tolerate that? Of course not. But here we are during a pandemic, and these businesses, and once again, no one is enjoying this. No one is enjoying this. Nope. No one is enjoying this. But yet, it's the best path for us to take. Because the last thing we want to do is endanger the population again. So, if they're going to break these rules and you're not going to do anything, well, then you're just asking for bars and restaurants to start making up whatever rules they want to. Oh, I'm supposed to close at 2 o'clock? I'm not going to close at 2. I'm going to close at 6 because I got plenty of my customers that want to come in here between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. and drink. I'm not going to stop them. I'm supposed to stop people from drinking and driving? Well, that's not my responsibility. Those people can do it themselves. If you do not enforce this, then you are basically asking for all rules to be questioned and put to the side. And once again, I think one of the things that really is concerning to me is the amount of police departments and law enforcement who seem really willing to allow people to break the law, well, as long as they're not Black or Latino or Native American. I mean, I guarantee you those bars and restaurants, they would have been shut down. If there is a Black-owned bar in Lakeville that's catered to the Black population, oh my God, can you imagine what that would be looking like? Of course they would have shut it down. A bar in Albert Lea is facing a 5-year liquor license suspension after violating Minnesota's COVID-19 order that organized a rally to protest the action by the state. The Interchange Wine and Coffee Bistro, okay, your Albert Lea, your bistro usage is a little bit sketchy, but okay, is among the establishments that continue to defy Governor Walz's executive order. On Sunday, about 200 people marched in downtown Albert Lea to protest the possible liquor license suspension of the governor's orders, according to Albert Lea Tribune. Really quick, Brett, can you do me a favor? What's the population of Albert Lea? Can you track that down for me?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Let me know what that is. 200 people showed up to march in Albert Lea. The Interchange's Facebook page said the We the People march went from Albert Lea City Hall to the Fribourne County Courthouse Sunday afternoon. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Governor Walz and the Attorney General don't have offices in either the Albert Lea City Hall or the Fribourne County Courthouse. Neither one of those places, just FYI. We the people have come together from near and far for one purpose, to take back our liberties and freedoms, our lawful and constitutional rights as Americans, Lisa Hansen, the owner of the Interchange, told the Albert Lea Tribune. All right. The Interchange reopened in defiance of the governor's executive order on December 16th and has continued to operate. Serving food and beverage to patrons has resulted in Attorney General Keith Olson filing a temporary restraining order against the restaurant and a district court judge ordering that all indoor dining be halted. Now the bar is facing a 5-year liquor license suspension. 17,000 in Albert Lea. That's your number there, Brett? 17,000? Thank you. All right, let's do so. It's time for Matt's Math Corner. Equals, so 0.1%, it's going to be 1.1% of the population. 1.1% of the population showed up. Not exactly everyone wants this reopened. 1% of the population showed up to protest this. So you got to start doing that. I'm going to start whenever they put out this number, like 200 people showed up to protest. All right, what's the population? 17,000. So basically a little more than 1% of the population of the town showed up. Not exactly storming the streets, are they? Hansen said they're staying open to make money to pay the bills. We're well aware that the consequences. Here is a quote. This is Hansen. This is the owner of the bar, I guess. This is a quote from them. We are well aware of what the consequences could be, Hansen told the news station. Either I close permanently or open fully, so I open fully. And yes, I knew the risks going on that. Well, then why are you protesting? Okay, you freaking idiot. You knew that you could lose your liquor license for 5 years. You did it anyway. And now you're like, they shouldn't do this. Well, if you knew that your own quote is you knew that this was going to be the consequence. You're a moron. You are. You're a moron. And you and your 200 supporters are all morons. God, the selfishness of this country, the selfishness of this country is just, it's hard to fathom how we got here. It just is. And I don't know how you, I'm not saying it's easy. You've got a business. It's your lifeblood. You've been there. You've been working hard. Trust me, I've got friends that opened businesses in January and February who were bright-eyed. The sky's the limit. You know, they were, you know, excited and joyful about their brand new business. I got a gym I'm opening up. This is going to be great. And they've had to sit there and watch as, you know, they hope that they're still able to open when things get better. You want to add the word but to the sentence and create a second part of a sentence when I say the most important things should be the human beings living. You then want to say, but, yeah, a few of them die so I can get 2-for-1 chicken wings. That's okay. No, it's not. These are fringe people doing this. This is a fringe element. Attorney General, I know that you don't want to be the face of this. Governor Walz, I know you don't want to be the face of this. But for goodness sakes, there are plenty of bars and restaurants in Albert Lea who are doing it right. They are doing it correctly. And they are not violating these state orders. They are not endangering the community. They are not making things less safe. You have to shut them down. You have to strip them of their liquor license. And if that closes them down, that closes them down. It's not like if you did everything for this person today, they're still going to campaign against you. They're still going to scream about how you're an authoritarian regime. They're still going to say that pandemics are not that important. 2-for-1 chicken wings are more important. They're still going to feel that way. So just, you know, shut them down. Make some examples. And like I said, I mean, would anyone... It still blows my mind we are at this point that people, because and once again, it comes down to these individuals. They, you know how they almost all of them are insisting that the coronavirus isn't real, the pandemic's not that bad. The reason they're doing that is because if it is truly as bad as it is, which it is, if it is as deadly as it is, which it is, and they're still preaching that 2-for-1 chicken wings and bar rail specials are more important, they know they're horrible human beings. They know they're the worst trash that ever has existed. And so to make themselves feel better, they've convinced themselves there's no real pandemic. You got to punish them. Speaking of alibi, I got a story update on that when I do come on back. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show, now until 6 p.m. right here on AM 950. AM 950, Minnesota, it is the Matt McNeil Show. Alibi. You know, my favorite part about Alibi, isn't Alibi the guy that the bar in Lakeville that was owned by the guy that Yosemite Sammed it out the window, kind of two guns in a hand, jumped out and started firing rounds at the cops? Wasn't that him?
I'm not sure.
Yosemite Sammed it, I believe.
Yeah.
Alibi, they've got more problems here. Vandals have reportedly defaced the exterior of a Lakeville bar that continues to defy Governor Walz's indoor service shutdown. Lisa Monet Zarza, owner of Alibi, posted video of graffiti messages scattered around the building in downtown Lakeville. The messages are vulgar in nature, the majority of them using Nazi references and elites condemning President Trump. This is a quote, I'm guessing, from the Facebook post. This is what happens when you stand up. We have surveillance cameras, descriptions of all three vehicles involved, six suspects, all in hoods and masks. Five male, one female. If you look at the tag work, they follow certain political affiliations, Zarza wrote on Facebook. Also hit by vandals was Alibi Drinkery's neighbor, Angry Itch Brewing, which declined to close Sunday and decided to close on Sunday. Angry Itch has not reopened its doors for indoor service, so it's unclear if the vandals intentionally targeted the brewery or if it was a factor of being located next to the same building. We need a mental and physical break. Angry at his Facebook post reads, we'll aim to be back next week. Alibi Drinkery reported vandalism after weeks of violating Walz's executive order, even defying the lawsuit from Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. So I want to be very clear here. Vandalism is horrible and wrong. You shouldn't be doing it. But I find it interesting that there's an argument here is which crime is less volatile here? Her crime of opening up her business and defying of the order or the vandalism? They're both equally horrible. And I'll get back to that in a second. The contempt of court hearing is scheduled for 11 a.m. tomorrow. If found in contempt, Alibi Drinkery could be fined and be forced to pay the state's attorney fees. Zarza faces the possibility of even being imprisoned. I take no pleasure in seeking the sanction, but I cannot allow this establishment to prolong Minnesota's pain. Nearly all Minnesota's businesses are meeting their responsibility to their communities to stop the spread of COVID-19, but this establishment is defying court and community and risking Minnesotans' lives. So I will say, once again, vandalism, you know, it sounds like vandals struck here. There's some interesting things, though, here. First of all, by your own description, this is what happens when you stand up. We have surveillance cameras, descriptions of all three vehicles involved, six suspects, all in hoods and masks, five male, one female. How do you know you have only five males and one female? If by your description here is they were all wearing hoods and masks, you know, it's you don't know how many of what you have there. That seems pretty definitive for they're all wearing hoods and masks. Second of all, if you look at the tag work, when did you become an authority on graffiti? Apparently, hey, man, I know the street cred, yo, here in Lakeville. And, you know, I know what the kids and the bebop and the zubas and it's the same thing. All right. Would I be surprised at all that possibly an institution or an organization did something like this to try to get public support? I wouldn't be surprised by that. But once again, vandalism, bad. But so is opening up during a pandemic, you idiots. We are going to take a break. Come on back. We got hour two of the show right up here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. So was she like wearing a bikini or something like that? I mean, she's got a hood on and a mask. But you can tell it's a lady. Hello there. Lady parts. It's winter in Minnesota. I'm presuming they were wearing jackets. And what was it? Was she wearing a I love your melon hat or something? Well, that vandal was wearing pink. That's why. That's how the pink vandal is always the girl. The rest of them were boys. Is that? I would love to. Hey, okay. I will take Alibi, the bar and restaurant who's been breaking the law, at their word that vandals did this. But I want you to explain to me how you can look at security footage of people wearing hoods and masks in Minnesota in winter, vandalizing your business, and you can tell definitively five of them are men and one is a woman. And also, when did you become the authority on street art? And hey, whoa, you mean in Lakeville? In Lakeville! I just wait a minute, this looks like the gang activity of the Hells Angels group. That's what it is. You can tell right there. Look at them. I know that anywhere. It's like a MacGuffin in a bad detective show. I'll take you at your word, Alibi. While you keep breaking the law. By the way, kiss that liquor license goodbye tomorrow. Bye-bye. How about good news? Minnesota Jesse Diggins. We had Jesse Diggins on. Brett, you have heard me constantly brag about how great I love that Jesse Diggins interview we did last year. I love Jesse Diggins. Oh, yeah. She's great. Of course, if you don't remember, Jesse Diggins, Minnesota skier, cross-country skier, won gold medal, first ever U.S. gold in cross-country at the Olympics. Phenomenal. She wrote a book, and there was a person that her book came on out. She was going to, we interviewed her in late February, I think it was. She was going to be doing book signings and all this stuff coming up in March. And then the coronavirus hit, and so everything got canceled. But she still is skiing. And how about some good news from her? She reached the top steps of the World Cup podium Sunday, leading a historic U.S. 1-2 finish in women's cross-country skiing race. Diggins, the 2018 Olympic champion from Afton, won a 10-kilometer freestyle pursuit in Val Münster, Switzerland. Boy, something tells me the cheese and chocolate are going to be delicious. The third event in the prestigious Tour de Ski, Rosie Brennan finished second, giving the United States its first sweep of the top two spots in a World Cup cross-country race. There you go. I remember, I will never forget, if you read Diggins' book and you read how she trains, holy God, she works hard. So good for her. Nice to hear it. Congratulations, Jesse, and all my best as you continue your career there. So I'm going to spend a good chunk of the rest of this hour ripping on Democrats. I know. But I think I've got to, because there are some things that I think need to be said. And I understand right now our democracy is under attack by Trump and these belligerent Republicans. But I don't think this is going to go too long. I honestly think tomorrow that either a bunch of idiots start shooting rounds and they're immediately gunned down, and a bunch of Republicans going, well, I was for basically throwing out democracy, but I wasn't for killing cops in Washington, D.C. I wasn't for that. I was just for basically going to the bathroom all over the Constitution. We're going to get that. Or else it's going to go longer, for a few hours longer than I think it would. And needless to say, same result. But eventually we're going to have to get to the point of legislating, and we're going to have to get to the point of bill writing, and we're going to have, if things go well in Georgia tomorrow, we're going to have a total of, and I said tomorrow when I was talking about what's going on in Washington, D.C., that's going to be on Wednesday, the 6th. Tomorrow is the runoff in Georgia. Tomorrow you could end up having the Democrats take control of the Senate. Now, I don't know what the deal is. Would technically the Republicans still be in charge even with the 50-50 tie, because Pence is still the vice president until the 20th? I believe that's the case. And so that they would still be in charge for the next 2 weeks. But then after that, it would become the Democrats would take over, because obviously the tie-breaking vote would then become Kamala Harris. We're going to have to legislate. We're going to have to move forward. And it's important that we take some time. We look back at the past election, but then we also look forward at what are the Democrats going to do? And I'm going to start with looking back, because I had someone send me this note. Now, I'm not sure if the individual who put this out on Twitter, a former legislator here in the state of Minnesota, I don't know if they were specifically commenting on stuff that I had said, but needless to say, I think that this is the tone. This is a tertiary suburb Democrat who lost their race, and on Twitter they posted, "I've read some electoral takes from people in districts where DFLers only like to put their name on a ballot to win. Please come down here and knock on a few thousand doors in Blanktown, and the other towns so you can test your messaging. Looking forward to your report." Now, I'm sorry you lost. And, I want to point out the one of the things about your tweet here, your comment, which was a little out of line, is that you don't think that the Democrats, the DFLers in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in the cities themselves, you don't think they go door knocking? You don't think they go around to their communities? I'm in one of the most blue districts in the state, Hopkins, St. Louis Park. Cheryl Ucream's my House District Rep. Cheryl Ucream comes by every year, every election. I shouldn't say every election. She comes on by, and she knocks on the door, and she says, how are you guys doing? And she goes, and it's not just my door. She's doing my entire neighborhood. Now, they came through a little bit. I wasn't there when the whoever it was from her campaign came by, but they did come by. I understand it's difficult, but if I may, I spent a lot of time in outstate Minnesota this election cycle. I spent a lot of time in red districts. The mistake that I was seeing was self-induced, not by the DFL as a party, but by the individual candidates who got scared and didn't know how, well, basically all of a sudden forgot that they were in a power position. We're going into this election, okay? In case you've missed the headlines, we're in the middle of a pandemic. And the Democratic Party and the DFL party are the party of healthcare. Republicans are the party of not only getting rid of healthcare, they want to get rid of Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. They don't want any kind of social safety net programs. This should have been an easy slam dunk. This should have been a piece of cake. Unfortunately, it wasn't. Why? Because Republicans, and it was interesting because the first time I noticed this was it was a Democrat in, this is out west of Lake Minnetonka, and the individual looked at me and she said, well, I can't stand the fact that these Metro DFLers keep talking about defunding the police. And I said, wait, whoa. Which DFLer running for House or Senate is talking about defunding the police? I don't know of any DFL candidates. I know the one guy that went up and protested at Bob Kroll's house, he got chewed out pretty bad. But I don't know any Democrats who were defunding the police was their mantra. Brett, off the top of your head, was there any Democratic House member, Senate member, anyone running for office this last time who was, did you hear that the defunding the police was their primary thing?
Not a one.
I don't remember any of them. So I asked her, this politician, I said, where are you getting this from? That's not from the metro area DFLers. Well, that's what the opponent is telling us. Ah. So let's make sure we step back. We understand what happened here. Republicans were screwed. The only way they could win, well, and they did run in some seats, fake third-party candidates to take votes away, which was successful in a few races. But for the most part, the only way they could win in an age of a pandemic where they're the party of anti-healthcare was to get the Democratic Party to start attacking itself. And the way they did that was by going out into these districts and saying, the Republicans are saying, look at all the DFLers screaming, defund the police. And you DFLers were dumb enough to fall for it. And yeah, I'm being a little harsh, aren't I? But it's true. It is true. It's very true. You guys started attacking your own party. You couldn't attack the rest of the DFL fast enough. Even though no one in the DFL was doing what the Republicans were campaigning against you saying, you treated it as, well, that's what, oh, well, I can't. Why were these DFL, you guys in your safe DFL seats, how dare you? How dare you try to tell me how to run a race down here? Okay, let me tell you how you should have run your race down there, okay? Republican comes up here and says, defund the police. They want to defund the police. You say, okay, first of all, I think this is your response. And if you were not smart enough to come up with this response, I can't help you, okay? But something in this vein. Okay, first of all, I don't know who he's saying is defunding the police. Is he talking local Minneapolis politicians? But first of all, let's all agree on something. What happened to George Floyd should never happen in a decent society. that what happened to George Floyd being murdered by four police officers is so unforgivable that that has to be addressed. But that's something that needs to be addressed in the city of Minneapolis, which I will leave to the local politicians there who can solve that problem. I am looking at running in said district, tertiary suburb, outstate Minnesota. And I support the police. And here's where you insert the name of the police chief in the local police department, the county sheriff that you have to deal with. And you say, I support this police officer, I support them. But I guarantee you this, if all of a sudden we had a George Floyd incident in this community, I would be just as outraged. But we don't have that problem here. That's a problem in Minneapolis, which they need to deal with there. I don't know who they're saying is on the DFL is screaming defund the police, but that's their problem, not mine. I'm for supporting the police in my district. Let Minneapolis deal with that problem. How freaking hard was that? Seriously, how hard was that? How hard was that? I'm not the smartest political mind. I'm not. I just gave out an answer which basically negates everything. And you get on all these networks and you knock on these doors. And when someone says, I heard Republicans saying you're going to defund the police, you say, hey, you know what? First of all, let's agree. What happened to George Floyd should not happen in a decent society. But that being said, that's a problem they're having to deal with here. I'm running for this race. I support the local police chief. I support the local sheriff's department. Let Minneapolis deal with that problem. I don't know of anyone in the DFL that's screaming about defunding the police as a statewide policy. That is a local Minneapolis issue. I'm focused on this district. And scene. You guys didn't do that. You guys went out there, and I saw it. I heard it with my own eyes, and I saw it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. You guys out there saying, well, these DFL Democrats in the city, we got to rein them in. The minute you started to attack your own party is the second you lost your integrity. You bought the narrative the Republicans were pushing, and you ran with that. That's not the DFLs in Minneapolis or St. Paul in the inner core cities in the 494, 694 loop. That's not their problem. That's your problem. Your problem that you are so quick to jump and attack your own party as opposed to attack the candidate you were supposed to go against. Don't you dare act as if this is something that, oh, well, I should have got. Your messaging in a lot of these races sucked because the minute the Republican Party duped you guys, tricked you guys into attacking the guys on the other side of the aisle, or not the other side of the aisle, your own party, why would I vote for you? You don't look like you're even happy to be a Democrat. You have no integrity. I got more on this specific issue, but then I got a much larger problem that we have to have a discussion about where the Democrats go when I do return. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show, new extended edition, going until 6 o'clock tonight, right here on AM 950. Demanding me to do 2 hours. That's the sound I make there.
Well, that song made its way over to the new show, didn't it?
All right, repeat after me, okay? Defund the police. First of all, I don't know which DFL you're talking is insisting in saying that. If that might be a city issue. That's not the DFL party. First of all, let's agree. What happened to George Floyd was horrible, and that should not happen in a decent society. And the reality is there is a problem with police brutality in Minneapolis. But that's their issue. They need to handle it. I support the police. I support the police chief over here. I support the sheriff over here. I support them, and I'm willing to help them make sure that they can do their job the best they can. I don't know who you're hearing this is from, but that defund the police stuff, that's the city of Minneapolis. That's not this race. I'm running here. Ta-freaking-duh. And yeah, you might have to repeat that a few times every day. But that's politics. The fact that, you know, like I said, the only chance the Republicans had of holding the Minnesota Senate, of picking up seats, was to get Democratic candidates to turn on their own party. And the minute they started screaming the defund the police thing, you guys, you did. Don't you look at me as like an arrogant Metro Democrat. No, I spent a ton of time out there. I was furious with real outstate Democrats who were not going on the attack on the trade debacle that Trump has created. I mean, the trade debacle, for God's sakes, talk about low-hanging fruit. But, Madge, the farmers like Trump. Well, aren't you trying to win the race? Aren't you trying to win the seat here? It would seem to me your course of action would be, you know what, Trump tried something with the trade markets, but this is a disaster. Currently, right now, in Brazil and in other South American countries, the reason why they're tearing down their rainforest is they're planting soybeans and sugar beets and wheat, and they are taking our markets away. And China is signing contracts with those countries, with Australia, with New Zealand, and they are going to be supplying these products. I understand he wanted to give it a chance, but the disastrous consequences of his trade policy are going to ripple through this country for years. You need someone that's going to be looking out for the farmers, not just looking out for the headline. Holy crap. Wow, Matt, you liberal city person. How dare you try to help the people out in rural Minnesota? Jesus Christ. Seriously, how come you guys, and I ran into a lot of DFL candidates in rural Minnesota who were not putting that course of attack out there. I mean, it was the thing which was so upsetting was that Republicans would basically go on the attack on the DFL, and there were too many DFL candidates who, on this idea that I'm going to look moderate, quickly and easily jumped at attacking the DFL themselves. And once again, listen up, you candidates. If you attack your own party, you don't look like you have any integrity. We're getting a front row seat for that right now with the Republicans imploding en masse in Washington, D.C. Does anyone have any integrity in that party right now? Of course not. Well, that's exactly how you looked when you were sitting there. It's like, I don't like those city Democrats. I don't like them. They hate us. No, they don't. You are buying the narrative the Republicans fed you, and you eagerly gobbled it up. It was disappointing, to say the least. Healthcare, for God's sakes, your bread and butter was healthcare. And you refused, almost refused to talk about that. I had a conversation with a rural Democratic candidate who was mad. Those Republicans, they're angry. I don't know how to convince them it's bad. I said, well, you live in this town, right? I said, I know this town. In your Soldiers Veterans Park, there's a monument to World War I, right? Yeah. Well, then, what I want you to do is have an event right in front of that event, that monument to World War I, to all the soldiers from your community who died in World War I. And point to that memorial and you say to yourself, see that? We put that up to remember the dead we lost at World War I. Today, we have lost more people to COVID-19 than we lost to World War I. That was such a traumatic experience. We in our own community put up a monument to never forget the people that we have lost. And yet here we have a crisis right now under our own fingertips, which is making us sicker, killing off our residents, and depleting our resources. I am representing the political party that wants to make sure you have affordable health care. The basics. The other side of the aisle wants to get rid of all health care, including Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. This is not, we're going to have to put up another memorial for COVID-19. I'm on the side trying to stop this from being as bad as it is. The other side of the aisle is trying to make this to where it's even worse than World War II. Heck, it might even be worse than the Civil War by the time we're all done with it. How hard is this? But Matt, they get really angry if I go out and challenge Trump. Then you shouldn't be running for office. You shouldn't be. If your first line of attack is DFLers, you shouldn't be running as a DFLer. If you're too afraid to go on out there and challenge people on their record or your record or your party's record, then you shouldn't be running. It's not about who can be the most bipartisan-y guy. It's about who can win the race. You don't do damn thing if you lose. And a lot of Democrats in this state, they bought the textbook example of how you lose a race by attacking your own party, by looking like you don't have any integrity, and taking your strongest argument and putting it on a back burner so you can sit and bash on those Metro Democrats. And this is the DFLs doing it. Fix it. If you want to run again, fine. Do it. By all means. But if you don't want to be a DFLer, then run as an independent or go run as a Republican. Just don't waste my time having a pity party for yourself when you are the one who screwed it up. Not me. You did. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. What do you do? Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Yeah, I've been sticking on that one for a few days. That one's in my craw. I'm going to do traffic. Why not? We got an accident working right now. Traffic on the fives. Traffic on the fives.
Did we pull out the old music bed for the traffic?
No. We're done with music beds on the traffic. There is an accident there. Crosstown, this is westbound. Crosstown at Penn Avenue. Watch out for delays there. That's the only accident working, right? This pandemic rush hour, it's not like it. I remember when I used to have to fly around the metro area and do traffic reports.
Oh, you were a helicopter guy.
I was a plane. It was a Beechcraft two-seater.
Oh, okay. You weren't Copper Matt there.
God forbid I'm in a stable aircraft like a helicopter. No, I was in basically a salt shaker in the sky. Time for your traffic and weather right now. We're looking at a little bit of turbulence up here. I did that. Yeah, that was me. It was great fun. And as your weather forecast said, tonight, mostly clear, 16. Looking nice. Here you go, traffic and weather. I'll do this occasionally because I got drive time now. I got your. It's the same people, only they might be in a car. So... And it's me longer. This is what you asked for. That's on you. 952-946-6205. So we had a can we all clunk ourselves in the head with a hard object moment from the Democrats in Congress, in the U.S. Congress, the other day when at the same time there was a veto override that had to happen of the military defense spending bill. And we had the president, because reasons, man, woman, TV, whatever the rest.
You summed it up. The president, because of reasons.
Because of reasons, screamed that all of a sudden we needed $2,000 checks, to which every Democrat was like, okay. And so you had a debate going on whether or not we should increase the federal government's stimulus checks to $2,000 per family, which is a great idea and still a heck of a lot more cost effective than the crap we first did, which was when Republicans gave Wall Street and millionaires and billionaires a whole bunch of money and just said, you can gamble on Wall Street, just got to put the money there and you're going to keep all the money. That's really what they did. Those first two economic stimulus packages, that's all it was money going to Wall Street saying, gamble on Wall Street, keep the stock market high. This, even at $2,000, would be cost effective and would help a lot of people in this country. And so you have these two different bills that are going on out there. And if you were a Republican, they would have utilized the other one to get what they wanted done. And the Democrats, even though they had a gift handed to them, Republicans desperately wanted to overturn the veto of the military spending bill. They desperately wanted to do that. Okay, fine. We will vote on that after we vote on the $2,000 stimulus check, and if we're not going to get a vote on the $2,000 stimulus check, well, guess what? We're not going to vote on the veto override. And to my knowledge, the Democrats, they didn't do anything. You had, Matt, you know, that's not us. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote to authorize, you know, override the veto just because Trump, that's going to stick at Trump, even though that I could have used that to get the $2,000 check. And instead of giving everyone a $2,000 check, I'm going to give them a 50-page, well-worded memo on why my integrity is so much better than those guys on the other side of the aisle. And they're going to like me. Shut up. Shut up. You guys are so not understanding how this game is played today. It's infuriating. But it's time to put up or shut up for the Democrats. Because you've got to deliver for your own party at this point. And so far, I've seen, you know, Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith, Dean Phillips, Angie Craig. They seem to be running, we're bipartisan. And that's great if it's an issue, but I mean, my God, you have to learn how the game is played. One of the hardest things that I ever had to hear was a Democrat I really respected at one point coming to me and making the comment to me. We were talking about, I think it was funding for schools, for the inner city schools, that it's one of those things where this individual was, basically, saying, hey, we're going to do this. And I asked her, I said, well, when are we going to do this? When is this going to happen? And she said, well, that's not going to happen. I said, wait a minute here. You've been talking about doing this. Why aren't you going to be doing this? And she said, well, because reality is I can't get that bill passed. And her words, not mine. Who else are the black people going to vote for? They're going to vote for us because we're at least trying to get some of their agenda passed. That infuriated me. Because not only were you campaigning on a false promise, but as well, you yourself are part of a party that's supposed to be there. A fair tide raises all boats. We are all supposed to be in this together. And there was this almost admission by this moderate that the progressive side of the party, the issues that are catered towards more specific ethnic groups, that those issues didn't really matter to them as much, but they were something that they would campaign on. They'd something that they would run on during an election cycle just so they could get elected, with no real intent on ever following through on some of those issues. Now, for the record, this was one person who said this to me. I was very upset, to say the least. I don't talk to that person anymore. They're out of politics, thank God. And I'm not going to say anything else about the individual, but I will say I was furious about this, because this was just a, it's this individual was performing the narrative that Republicans have been saying about the Democrats for years, which was that they're not really in it for helping the poor, the meek, the minority groups that have had gotten screwed by the system. Now, once again, the vast majority of people I know who are Democrats, DFLers, they don't agree with that. And they are fighting very hard. But on two very different threads, it's time for the Democrats, particularly the moderate Democrats, to stop dancing around issues and start embracing the party that got you the victories. I mentioned Stacey Abrams last hour. Stacey Abrams, the black vote got you Georgia. End of story, end of discussion. The black vote got you Georgia, okay? Without the black vote, you don't have Georgia. Without Stacey Abrams, you do not have Georgia. Georgia is not in the DFL, the Democratic candidates win. Joe Biden does not win Georgia. Arizona? The Navajo Nation themselves single-handedly delivered Arizona. Native Americans who, by all rights, after the amount of times they have been screwed over by the white dominant culture of this country, they came on out and voted to help the Democrats. And they delivered, along with the Hispanic vote. They delivered. They made it close. Hispanic vote made it close in Texas, made it close in North Carolina. The black vote, the Hispanic vote, the Native American vote helped deliver Wisconsin, helped deliver Michigan, helped deliver Pennsylvania. I am tired of Democrats who, even though they wouldn't be in positions of power without these groups that have helped them out, turning their back on said groups when it comes time to move this country forward. To put it into better terms for you, imagine for, say, Native American voters. There are some issues which are a 10, and there are some issues which are a 2. A 10 would be something like, I don't know, stopping a pipeline from being built through their native lands. A 2 might be something like a new road getting repaved towards a reservation area. We get these Democrats that campaign on the idea of, I'm going to stop this pipeline. And in the turn, when it comes time to fish or cut bait, what you're getting is a repaved road. And the pipeline gets built. African Americans, let's look at the African American vote. A 10 for them. How about we stop police from killing black people? Gee willikers, that might be a good idea. Or maybe a 1 or 2 on the black priority agenda might be, oh, more fresh fruits and vegetables available in communities of color within the urban areas. And what happens is we get a failure to stop the black people from being killed by the police. But hey, we've opened up a few veggie stands, and so, sure, we got dead black people, but you get radishes. You see, is you're not delivering. You're not delivering. And it's time for you to deliver. Don't tell me what you can't do right now. Democrats, especially the Democrats on the federal level. Don't tell me about how, well, I can't get that passed. Well, then you go fight like you can get it passed. Well, Matt, I can't stop the pipeline. Well, then get off your ass and try. Matt, I can't stop the precious metal mines in Northern. Get off your ass and try. I can't stop black people from eating gun, but get off your ass and try. We didn't put you there to give us excuses and promises only every 2 or 6 years. It's time for you to thank the people that got you the presidency. The black vote, the Native American vote, the Hispanic vote. and this consistent lack of follow-through needs to stop. We need people who will fight. I don't necessarily agree with everything that AOC puts forward. I don't. But I like what she has to say. You know why? Because she fights. Bernie Sanders, wildly popular within the party. I don't agree with everything Bernie Sanders believes in. But you know why he's popular within the party? Because he fights. Elizabeth Warren, I adore Elizabeth Warren. I really do. I said she was my choice during the primaries. I love Elizabeth Warren. Do you know why Elizabeth Warren is liked? Because she fights. For every Democrat that we have out there that does fight, we have 10 Democrats like, I don't know. And they find some secondary or tertiary issue, which might be a problem, might not, I don't really know. But they slap their vote on with a bunch of Republicans and say, didn't I do great? Well, what about stopping the pipeline going through Native American lands? Well, we can't stop that. So, gee willikers, I'm going to get my concern face out for you now. You want to be a Democrat? Fine. It's time for you to start acting like a damn Democrat. Acting like the people you claim to embody, the FDRs, the JFKs. For God's sakes, Stacey Abrams is one of the most inspiring political figures of today. Be like her, for God's sakes. And all she's doing is getting as many black people registered to vote in Georgia so that she can win. I am tired of the Democrats taking the people who are getting them there for granted. We don't need repaved roads or radishes. We need politicians who are going to stand up for the people that have put them into power. Dean Phillips, Angie Craig, Betty McCollum, Tina Smith, Amy Klobuchar. I expect better. Governor Walz, I expect better. Let's not worry about the twos and threes and fours on the priority list. Let's worry about getting past some of those eights and nines and tens. For God's sakes, we only recently started taking the abuse and disappearance of indigenous women seriously, for God's sakes. That would be an eight or a nine, you'd think. If you don't want to deliver for the Democrats that have given you will likely give you the Senate, will give you the House, and give you Joe Biden as president. If you don't want to deliver, then expect to get primaried. Because you know what? It's time for us to have a Democratic Party that represents the people that get them into power. Good old populism. Look at me. There is another avenue here we have to discuss about the Democrats, because I think we all can see what's coming down the line here with the moderate Democrats and Trump. I'll break that down when I do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show. New extended version till 6 o'clock right here on AM 950. No traffic out there, really. No, there's a stalled vehicle downtown on 94 and Spaghetti Junction, St. Paul, right by 52. Watch out for that. Okay, if I just have to read stalled vehicles, come on now. Come on. You got to. Is construction and stalled vehicles? My goodness, no.
Had a bird crossing the road. A slowdown.
I'd much rather tell you what, maybe we'll have to morph this into the angry turkey debate. Turkey report. Where are we finding those hooligan turkeys that are roaming the metro area You can give us your update. I mean, you can go look on Nextdoor app because, my God, those people track everything. But, you know, where the angry turkeys are, well, you found them. AM 950-952-946-6205. We're doing 2 hours of this now. You asked for it. All right, so Democrats, not only do you have to now deliver to the people that got you in power, God forbid, but Democrats, it's time for you to realize the times that we are living in. I already can see it. Angie Craig and Dean, all of a sudden, why am I blanking on Dean's name?
Oh, Phillips.
Thank you.
Dean Phillips.
Yes. Dean Phillips. I'm thinking James Dean. I thought, that's not right. I'm pretty sure. I just checked my notes. No, that's not James Dean. Dean Phillips. Angie Crane, Dean Phillips, Amy Klobuchar, Tina Smith, Betty McCollum. You have to hold Trump accountable. You have to hold Trump accountable. I want to repeat this. You have to hold Trump accountable. You have to investigate everything. Everything. The Postal Service, Stormy Daniels, the pandemic response. Everything. Everything. Even those botched military raids he tried to pull off early in his presidency. Everything has to be investigated. His enablers all need to be investigated. You cannot do what I already can see the moderate Democrats getting ready to do. Well, the other guys on the other side of the aisle said they won't do their bipartisan bills with me. If I continue to look at what Trump did. So, I think it's best if we let bygones be bygones. And don't get me wrong, I've got my stern wagging finger all ready to go. Waggy, waggy, waggy. But I think we're going to, under the argument, the false argument that we're going to let the country heal, we're not going to do anything to investigate any of the what happened under Trump. Okay? No, it's not okay. The Republican Party screwed up when they put him in charge. And you need to make them pay. Not because of petty politics, but because this country doesn't deserve to have a guy that shouldn't be working the ice cream machine at a Dairy Queen as the president of the United States. He spent most of his days not doing anything but watching TV and tweeting. He golfed more. He vacationed more in a 4-year term, basically twice as much as most presidents do in an 8-year term. You have to investigate everything, and you are only failing America. Not just the voters who put you there, but the country itself. From the founding fathers to the people here today, the people that we are as a country deserve to have politicians who are going to have the guts to follow through and expose the disaster that was the Trump administration. Every ugly detail. And if you're not willing to do that, then resign your position and we'll put someone in there who will. But it is time for you to start acting like you've got the integrity you claim to have. I've got to be honest, this is me not holding my breath. Hey, what do you know? We just did 2 hours of radio. We are back 4 o'clock tomorrow. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.